The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Core, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, Guy Bradford as Engage 311, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzie. The Emperor's lightsaber has begun to influence the gang. Vic tried to turn the rest of the crew against Brash. Brash showed up just as Vic's temporary alliance collapsed. Engage 311 planned to murder Nyx before producing a lightsaber of its own. And Waka realized Engage's laser sword is the one that stole his memory. There. You're caught up. So get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money.
Like all great secret box gangs before it, the secret box gang is beginning to fall apart. Brash, you've just caught your teammates clearly conspiring to take 50-50-50 shares and cutting you out of the secret box gang. What do you do?
Okay, so Waka's holding Engage
Waka
in the air.
Waka is holding Engage in the air. Engage just revealed that he has a double-bladed Darth Maul lightsaber built into his arms. Vic still has the box. His destiny is inside, perhaps.
Great. Well, if everybody's just getting a little bit aggressive, I'm just going to pull both guns and be like, I'm going to take that box. I'm just going to go right after Vic.
With what hands, smart guy? Kick one of the guns over here. Just the confidence of a rich idiot.
I put a bolt right between your feet.
I will jump and just fall on my ass. Fall into like the muck of Kano behind me.
Truly the squingiest of landings.
Yeah, and just... And there's, I am in a whole new scenario now of just like, oh, what is this? Just the box is out of my hands. I'm up and trying to get naked.
Can you roll me? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Can you roll me a coordination check, please? Because I need to know how you got to standing. And if you roll badly,
if I slip,
it involves some more muck.
Okay, so that's just two greens.
Take, please, two purple, because you're terrified because of all the shoe sting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you one blue for just how much you want to get out of here.
Yeah. Pretty good. Three success and two threat.
Okay, so you manage to get to your feet. And you start, I assume, trying to strip off the the muck and gore. From the two threat, I'll say you've dropped the box.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. It's like one of those Wild West spins of like the guns all over the hand doing an elaborate spinning trick, and then it's just holstered, and then I'll pick up the box and just go sit. I'm not even leaving the room with it.
So, Ryan, I'm going to say as you put the gun away and you start to walk towards the box with your hand out, and to your surprise, the box actually like floats into your hand.
Okay. And then I try to look knowingly like I meant to do that, and this makes perfect sense to me.
Of course you did. Next, you should open the box and see just how much potential you have, you handsome son of a bitch.
Okay, I'm going to go to the throne chair, and I'm going to put the box on it, and now I'm going to sit on the box, because I don't trust this box completely.
This is not how you open a box.
Yes, I'm aware of that, and then I just try
good,
to...
Good, you're learning.
And then I just remember Uncle Xanatos, and I no longer trust, like, older male figures. So I'm, like, ready for a trap, but... Like,
is anyone else hearing the box tell you that the future is yours if you open it?
Forget about the box. If you want to shoot someone, shoot this guy.
Okay, more pressing concerns. Why do we want to shoot Engage 311?
Nobody wants to shoot Engage.
I want to shoot Engage because his lightsaber is the one that stabbed me in the head.
Pal, I think you're just a wee bit confused, but if I may, I think I can illuminate you just then. I point my finger towards one of your lobes, and this little, like...
I got my helmet on.
I know. It's like a little, like, kind of like a robotic tendril comes out, and it goes underneath the helmet. It goes behind your slat, your giant plate, and it goes back in your brain. And then all of a sudden, you're whisked away into this different world. We're going back through, basically, memories that you had lost. And you're getting bits and pieces and fragments. I'm showing you that you were part of this program I was running, and you were my underling. And then we just go through.
This is a lot.
We go through lots of
Tom's nodding, so this is canon.
We go through lots of our history where it's kind of like basically Weapon X, but you are my Wolverine. And
Jesus Christ.
It was called...
My ears start bleeding.
And then all of a sudden, my hologram appears in front of you. Yeah, so this is me there, and this is your past. As you can see, I took you as a lonely organic, and I saw potential in you. And basically, you were the top of my program, also known as the Waka Initiative.
So hold on one second. You expect me to believe that my former mentor is just randomly floating in space.
Right.
And we, by chance, happen to hit him.
Right.
Bring him in. You don't say anything to me.
Sounds good.
No recognition whatsoever.
At this point, Brash goes, oh, because I didn't see any of the memories, but this sentence just summated it.
So he's still talking out loud.
I've put it together solely based on that incredibly detailed explanation of his memory.
But that little like thing in my head has actually kind of like improved my intelligence momentarily. Mm-hmm. And you expect me to believe that we know each other? I think you're just making this up. And I rip out the cord.
All right, Waka, I'm going to need you to roll me a
brain surgery check.
Yeah, honestly.
Brace, Waka.
Brace.
Brace like you've never braced before.
I brace and then I rip out the cord.
I need a resilience check, please.
Resilience?
Yeah, so that's resilience plus brawn as you tear the memories from your mind.
So my resilience is 1 and my brawn is 2.
So you get a green and a yellow.
I'm going to give you 3 purple, and you best believe one of those purples is turning red.
And he just spent destiny to do it, so there's no destiny to help you.
But I brace.
So you get rid of the black ones. I was going to give you a black one for just like blindly fumbling at this thing. But because you've braced, you can lose the black dice.
All right.
I'll give you 1 boost dice as well because you are momentarily more yourself.
More smart.
Yeah, and probably like N-Gage isn't trying to rip your brain out.
No, he's just trying to show.
No, not at all.
So let me gather my thingies here. So I have 3 threats, and I have 4 advantage and 1 success.
So 1 success and 1 advantage net.
All right. So you won't take any damage.
Sweet.
Wow.
I've done this before. I get things caught in there all the time.
People have tried to tell me my backstory before.
For the 1 point of advantage, once you pulled it out, you have a glimpse of the man you remember being when you shot the wounded Mandalorian. But this time you're wearing the armor. And you remember just a crushing sense of kind of aimlessness and having all this power, but not really knowing what to do with it. And then you remember shaking the hand of a droid and saying, sign me up.
This is my old voice. There, I shot that Mandalorian that you wanted.
Oh, very good work, young Padawan. You're doing awesome.
Yeah, sure. So can I work for your organization now?
Yeah, of course. Hey, but first, you mind walking in this little suspension tube?
All right, sure.
Okay, and I press a button. There's a vacuum and just gets sucked up. Oh, okay, we'll inject the drugs in him afterwards.
I didn't catch that.
Engage in the memory. You look down at your form. And you see last name Fonzie, first name
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, Fonzie.
You can't take that one, Adam. You can't use that. That one is spoken for.
Put me on the spot.
That one's a
by
popular
our Lord
name.
God.
Yeah. I just want to pitch other names. That this is a bad game for me to play.
We
with
can
other
come back to it.
So my last name is Fonzie.
Yep.
My first name, Serpentos.
Serpentos Fonzie.
You're going to owe Hasbro money by the end of this. You know that, right?
I got it. Let me update my... Hold on. So then...
Serpentos Unicron Fonzie.
Comma Prime.
Serpentos...
Cobra La La La.
Yeah, Cobra...
Sergeant Slaughter. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Now I'm going to get sued by the WWE as well.
Jesus. Yeah. So, okay. So the Waka initiative. So Serpentos. You know what? Continue. I'll think of my middle name and then you guys go on.
Sure. But keep in mind, since you've woken back up, your kind of current state is Waka Waka Fonzie. So it's up to you whether or not you revert to the name of a man you don't even remember.
Oh. So. I'll stay Waka because that's who I am. But I do know who I was.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Serpentos.
Yeah, it's a real Jason Bourne situation. Mm. Yeah. And I guess that makes Guy your Julia Stiles. It's reminding you of your past.
Serpentos Ultra Magnus Fonzie.
Jesus Christ. You're killing Tom.
I think you went You went from a character who fucked hard to a character I'm now so sure has never fucked. I would bet everything.
Ultra Magnus Fonzie.
Do you know what? Do you know? It's really nice to know that he signed that sheet with a fake fucking name.
Yeah.
His real name's like Timothy. Serpentos Ultra Magnus. Right above his Jesus Christ and it's crossed out.
Yeah. JC, yeah. It's JC. JC. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, what fun. So, yes, you kind of shake your head. You kind of blink the memory away. But you definitely remember what this sounds true. But it does seem awfully suspicious to you that this robot happened to be floating through space.
Yeah. Why were you floating in space?
All right, you got me. So, the whole thing about the drugs... partially true, but really, my whole planet, you know, where I was doing all my deeds, let's just say some asteroids done knocked it, you know, pretty badly. And, you know, I was out there thinking, well, this bones, I've lost my planet. I've lost my star pupil years ago. What am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, for some strange reason, almost like fate, I had a homing beacon right inside you.
What?
And I did. And so on my little, I call it my Dragon Ball radar.
Wow. Jesus. Do you have a scouter?
Yeah.
Is any of this usable, Ryan?
This is as close to suicidal as I've ever been as a producer.
What? 9,000? What?
So this thing.
They're having fun.
This thing starts beeping hog wild. And usually you have to be within, I don't know, at least 3 light years of me.
What the fucking
okay,
fuck?
So that I can even, you know,
right,
find you. And it goes off, and well, so I start darting, and well, I get locked onto you, but then again, those gosh darn asteroids. Anyways, make a long story short, I hit your boat.
So we smash cut back to the pleasure tumor where a ship drops out of warp, having just chased you from Agrippa's planet. And then just missed you. And then we smash cut to the asteroids. And basically, you realize that N-Gage has been just one step behind you since you left Agrippa's place. But then those dastardly asteroids just wrecked his shit. So he is left with nothing else but to jetpack desperately at you, which has brought him onto your ship now.
I was kind of high, though, when I was jetpacking through the void.
Hey friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yeah, so I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show, it's going to be great.
All right, awkward question just from the side. I know this is very revelatory, but does Waka have a daughter?
That I don't know. I think that must have been after. I only knew him as a bachelor.
Yeah, so as you say that, you hear from the door like, yup, yup, boo. And you look and comes in with...
I forgot his name.
A screen. I can't. I want to. And basically, he starts, like, wildly gesticulating. I think, Guy, you're kind of, like, translating for him. But basically, he runs you through all of the sort of surveillance they've had on Agrippa's palace. So they go as far back as seeing Vic's parents get brought in But there's no child.
Oh. I guess that's good. I'm a bachelor again.
Hey, there you go. Oh, yeah, and while I'm doing a lot of telling, not showing, I want to tell you the whole accident with my lightsaber in your frontal lobes. Dick move on my part.
Wait, you did that?
No, it was an assassin I hired with my money to kill you.
What?
Because you gosh darn left me, pal.
Why did I leave you? I must have a good reason.
Yeah, you were too good. It was kind of like I kind of wanted to like drown you in a river situation because you were so good.
I'm really conflicted. You're really nice and I really want to shoot you.
But then
you look at your bike.
I had doubts.
But you fixed the righteous indignation.
I had doubts. I wanted to let you go, but I also wanted to keep you. And I figured the only honorable thing to do was, you know, hire an assassin for money to kill you. So I never have to think about you again.
Well, what was the project? Like, what did you do to me?
Oh, yeah. I pumped you full of steroids. I taught you the ways of the Force from Jedi books.
I have the Force.
It's called midichlorians.
You just put midichlorians in me?
Yeah, I'm a persecuted people, okay? And I hate all organic life. And I thought it would be hilarious to test and train organic life so that I might unleash them on other organic life, you know, in a giant murder spree. So I trained up super soldiers. None of them took except you, my one accident bastard. And God damn it, if I don't love you. And now that I know you're alive and you're not just bits and pieces, you came back. Oh, God, I'm just going to jizz so hard, you know, from how you're making me feel right now.
So I was part of the Waka program?
Yeah, the Wily Action Killing Killers
Association.
Initiative.
So it's the Wily
Action
Killing Killers Association. Wily
Initiative.
Action Killing Killers Association.
Waka.
So twice.
Yeah, killing killers. Because you could kill killers. You killed my assassin after he plunged that thing in him.
Oh, good.
It was like a gag reflex. As soon as he rammed that gosh darn light sword in your head, you kind of bonked him automatically with your leg into his nuts, and he fell into...
And he died from that?
He did. It was his one weakness.
I kicked him so hard in the nuts, he died.
His heart exploded.
That's pretty metal. Wow.
It's really metal, yeah. So you're a special one, and I love you.
Wow.
There's a dinging from the cockpit that you're about to drop out of hyperspace.
You know what? I forgive you.
Oh.
Only.
Yeah.
If you work on my secret plan.
What's that, pal?
It's a secret that only I will share with you because I feel we have a bond.
We do have a bond. We have a James Bond.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
Okay, so I take the box and I run out of the room to go to the cockpit so we don't crash into a friggin' planet. But at the same time, I'm also running to hide the fact that I am crying having seen this scene happen. Because ultimately, Brash's whole life has been like having a terrible parent who was like raising him to be something special that he just couldn't do. And then they just... basically, we're going to have it be nothing and didn't even care enough to send assassins. But like Waka, who's terrible, his weird murder dad, like sent assassins after him and then regretted it. And there was a homing beacon. And why doesn't Brash have a homing beacon? And then he showed up and they're a family again and they're going to have a secret pact. And he just like can't handle it. So he's just like openly crying to himself as he rushes to the cockpit to fly away. And he jams the box in a glove box. No, it's just out of there.
Vic, what are you doing?
Vic missed all of that. once he scrambled up out of the Kano mess, because it's in the fridge, he went into like the back kitchen area and kind of just like climbed into like one of, you know, like the big sinks for like doing a lot of dishes, and just like he needed to clean himself and wash. So he comes out in three dish towels. He's got one up, keeping his hair up. He's got a very small one around his waist, just barely covering his bits. And then just one kind of strung over his shoulders. And he's like regained his cool. And so Brash is left at this point. Vic will say, Waka, you're cleaning this up. I don't want this in my room. This is my bedroom. So you're getting this out of here. Is that Kano? Was that Kano?
Yes, that's Kano.
It's
yes.
gone. You got to put him somewhere else.
Okay. Hey, okay. How about this? I'll remove the majority of Kano, what I don't need, and then I'll clean up the mess that I made.
Yeah, no, take it all out.
Okay.
And then whatever you don't need, put it in Brash's room. Or somewhere.
Does Brash's room have...
I honestly don't know if Brash has a room. I only see him flying the ship. He's just a pilot to me.
So then I have this like other little flash memory of like I'm on some planet, I'm in the forest, and to survive I had to like hunt and like you know, tan hides and things like that.
Sure.
So I'm just like, okay, I'll move him to Brash's room. And then I kind of like open the fridge and I just grab I grab the flesh of Kano, and so I kind of pull it out in a way where it's like it's basically just like a skin suit. And so there's like the rest of Kano is in there.
I can't look at it.
Can you like, are you waggling this in front of people, like kind of like also like showing it, like
I'm shaking it out.
Yeah, it's like
yeah, I'm shaking it out. There you go. And then I kind of like pulled up Kano's face, and I'm just like, don't worry, buddy. We're going to have you in tip-top shape before you know it.
And Adam, if I'm remembering correctly, you're wearing his faceplate, right?
Oh, am I? Oh,
I think you welded it onto your helmet.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of like, I pull it off, and I kind of put it into the flesh suit.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
And I kind of put it into a ball. Just wrap it up in a sack.
Yeah, yeah, okay, great. Like a bindle?
Yeah, like a little, like, yeah. A little like
Kano
like
bindle?
It's a Kindle.
Yeah, like the... Yeah, like a drifter would kind of carry. Gotcha. So then I kind of I tie his body into a bundle to my fork gun and kind of throw the fork gun over my shoulder, and I'm like, "Come on, engage. Let's start phase one." And like I kind of like,
and sweep sweep comes in with a mop, and it's just like sweep sweep, and just begins to like mop up Kano.
Thanks, buddy.
Vic will, once they leave and Sweep Sweep is cleaning up, Vic will, like, pour himself a scotch and just kind of sip on it and say, so Sweep Sweep, what's your story?
Sweep Sweep.
What are you about? Oh, sorry, I talked over you there. What'd you say?
Sweep Sweep.
Oh, okay.
Sweep?
I you're just saying the same word over and over again, pal. I don't know what any of that is.
He, like, rests his head on the broom like he's starting a one-man show, and he goes, Sweep Sweep. Sweep, 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 sweep. And you look over and Dibs is just like wiping a robotic tear from his eye with his upside down arm.
Okay. I don't know what you're saying at all. And you're going to clean this up though, okay? And I walk out with my scotch just in my towels. I walk out. And
like, Sweep, Sweep says something to the effect of, it's a living, which of course comes out, Sweep, Sweep. Yeah. You walk in a towel, through the ship. The hackers are still like busy at work. They still have kind of a live feed, but they kind of patch into the shipwide communications, and they're like, what's his name? Liscar is like, so we've established a connection with some of Tutu's people. We've been granted access to their base.
Great. Just tell me.
I forgot he was crying.
Just tell me the coordinates I have to go to.
Yep. Here's the codes, and you'll get clearance.
Thank you. I'll do it right away.
So you come out
and
of
war. Like, ah! And that's where it cuts off because he couldn't quite get there.
So the ship drops out of hyperspace, and you're back in a familiar system. It's, if you remember, Agrippa's planet is on one side of a gas giant. The Cup Syndicate is on another. The two planets are kind of in synchronous orbit around a gas giant that they're both attempting to mine for resources. You start to fly towards the Cup Syndicate planet, which is known as Rykos. you as you approach, there's kind of like a couple ships come out to escort you in. Brash, you're like through tiers steering the ship as these other two pilots in kind of sort of off-brand X-Wings. So they're not quite Z-95 headhunters. I pushed the glasses up the bridge of my nose.
That's okay. I was glad. No. It really worked for me.
I got you, bud. But they're like off-brand headhunters. So like really, really bargain basement. But these things look modded up. They look pretty tough. So they kind of guide you down. And you arrive in a very, very ornate, almost palatial grounds. So it's sort of like, sort of Louisiana, like almost like plantation manor. So kind of swampy and just this sort of massive, massive place. That said, all the people manning it are all like a variety of kind of like rough and tumble sort of thugs and pirate looking folks. And you get the sense that this is very much a place that was seized, not a place that they built. So you're greeted and they start leading you through. Your point of contact is a Gamorrean man named Long John Gurthy. He speaks remarkably good basic, considering that he's a pig person. He's kind of like, welcome, Tutu Cops extends his greatest hospitality. Just come this way, please. He kind of throws his axe over his shoulder, and he kind of like notices all of you looking at it. He's like, yeah, well, we have to carry these. And so he starts guiding you in.
Hey, pal, can I see that axe real quick?
Most assuredly not.
Okay, well, I'm gonna get it.
Do you try and take the axe?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and roll me a. Let's see. Do a skullduggery check.
What?
So on your skill sheet there, you'll see skullduggery and cunning.
Okay, my skullduggery is 1, and my cunning is 3.
So take 2 green and 1 yellow, please. I'm going to give you 4 purple because you just told him you were going to do it. And I'll give you 3 black for the amount of other people around who might shoot you.
I would like to use destiny in his favor because I feel like N-Gage is scary enough, but also very Midwestern enough that it always seems like he's going to try.
So, Guy, what that means is because Ryan spent a point of destiny, you get to change 1 of your green to a yellow, thus increasing your odds quite considerably.
Oh, thanks. It's very nice of you. Okay.
Still not great odds, just to be clear. Looking at that dice pool.
Oh, could be good.
Ooh. None there. None there. So this is 1 failure. Right?
Do you want a hand?
Yeah, Tyler, can you help with this
time? I see, help me, I see Dad.
3 failure.
Yeah.
And
a despair.
4 threat.
Oh, wait. No, that's
no,
a...
No,
that's
there's it. No despair. Okay, so... 1 triumph, and then there's nothing to counter that. And then, 3 failures minus 1 success. 2 failures is the net, and the threat is down to 1. So 2 failures, 1 threat, and a triumph.
Okay, so the triumph will cancel out the failures. So 1 threat. So you grab the axe, and he just full, like, this is Sparta, boots you off. And he's like,
if I had a dollar for every time, if I had a credit for every time someone tried to steal my axe, I tell you, Wednesdays.
He guides you in. But now all the kind of, like, thugs and pirates and stuff have their guns, like, actively trained on you.
Don't worry. This is going to work out.
So you're guided into... clearly a throne room, and he says, but like, again, like this very much is like a pirate seized base. So think like what was once a fancy throne room that now looks like Johnny Depp threw up all over the place. So they're all those silks you were after, mm-hmm. like cashmere, everywhere. It's fantastic in here.
Perfect. I'll have to pick some up.
you walk in and he just says, oh, sorry, he's just finishing up some business. He'll be with you in a moment. As you look, you see just the meanest fucking Gungan you have ever seen. Just like missing an eye, like real grizzled, got like piercings all the way down his ears. He's got a bionic arm. He says, yes, this will only take a minute. And Brash, to your shock, you see him crack the neck of Xanatos.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at AdamMcNamara13 on Twitter, Guy Bradford at Guy Bradford on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dumb Dumbs and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Kronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Dice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.